Rightio, welcome back to the show. Let's have a look at some more of your comments coming in. It's been really busy. Thank you so very much indeed. And sorry if I'm repeating myself in relation to that. I just want to agree with Micheál Colum. No heir for fascists. Hopefully Catherine Connolly will be elected president. What a load of left-wing Republican claptrap. That councillor spoke. Right-wing military training. Sure they are. That comes in from Rain Buncrana. Great show this morning, Greg. Micheál Colum was excellent. Be ideal man for president, a people's person. Mary Lou should run for the arras herself. She would give the rest a run for their money. I could see her in the Phoenix Park. Now, Greg, as well as all the so-called threats mainstream media are not helping, if RTE and Virgin Media told me it was raining, I'd go outside and check. Another, when politicians break their promise to the people that have elected them, they are committing violence on them and causing real hardship and trauma to them. And it's also very personal. Any politician who breaks their promises should be thrown out of power within 6 months. But you can see that language where you could end up in a certain place, right? What about Enoch Burke, J.K. Rowling, and the recent arrest of Father Ted Creator? Didn't hear your panel mention the injustices they have suffered. J.K. Rowling is a multi-billionaire. She's all right. She's not suffering any injustice, though she is very vocal in her space. I don't know what Enoch Burke is up to this weather, to be honest with you. And the Father Ted creation, I can't remember his name. Oh, God, what is his name? Can't remember. Anyway, he's back in America where he lives now. Regarding the little Tuzla children, it is the elected Taoiseach's fault. Which one? I don't know, as there's two Taoiseachs now. When they're looking for votes, they need a good socialist strategist who will go to these areas and talk to the community and put their problems to the running candidate who should put money into these areas and implement the necessary reforms they need. Another caller says one of the biggest issues is a lack of caring. It's a Monday to Friday 9-to-5 job and nothing else. No one has empathy anymore. On that same issue, Tuzla have been declining in its ability now for years, says the listener. Many people are going into positions which they're not qualified for. They may have paper qualifications but are not suited or capable of the job or for the job. Another, is Tuzla looking after every child in the country, or are they private organisations that look after our children? In terms of who is looking after them, in terms of who's looking after them, I think really the Tuzla obviously are the body that engages, right? Too many children are missing under Tuzla. Why is more not being done? It's like no one cares about the children. They are a statistic and don't matter. What's not often really discussed is a lot of teenagers that go missing aren't necessarily going missing from their actual homes. And that becomes clear to me when they're forwarded to us from Angada Síochána, because you can read between the lines. But you'll see maybe one or two of the children going missing regularly, but certainly a lot of them are not going missing from their actual own homes as well, which is not always mentioned. And then people, why are so many teenagers going missing? Well, there's a mix of the demographic, but a lot of them are not from their actual own homes. Right, now I'm going to take a quick break. We'll be back with more after these messages.
The county's number one talk show, the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio.
Sorry for holding you, Trailock. O'Filon, how are you keeping?
Greg, the line isn't very good there. I can barely hear you.
What about now? I'm sorry.
It's a bit better.
Listen, you know the story anyway here. We're going to plug Donegal County Council's Culture Night. It's the 17th annual programme of events, and it's another packed one, Trailock.
That's true, exactly. This is 17 years, but the Culture Night has been going nationally for 20 years, and we've been part of it for the last 17, which is excellent. We've had a number of really good years over the last number of years, and this year is no exception. It's probably our biggest program yet.
Pick out some highlights for us. When's everything happening?
Well, it runs basically from 6 o'clock until about 10 o'clock tonight. Letterkenny is probably the hub of the activity, but we've also got a considerable programme in Ishoan, in Carndonagh, in Buncrana. We've got some events in Remelton. We're in Donegal Town. we're in Ballyshannon, and we're in Bundoran, and also Ali and the Gaeltacht are doing a full programme of events in the Gaeltacht areas as well, in the Glencullum Kill area, and in Gidore, and in the Rosses. So it's a huge programme. To pick out events is difficult enough, but I'll give it a good go. I would suggest the main area, I suppose, in the town park tonight is usually a very, very popular. We usually have quite a big audience there for the initial and Carnival annual show. This year they're doing a show called An Púca, which they did at the St. Patrick's Day Parade in Dublin, and they're bringing that particular parade into the town park tonight, and all the sculpture trail that goes with it will be on display right through the park. We're also doing a multicultural cabaret in the town park. That will be running from 7 o'clock. The two initial and carnival programmes or performances will be at 8 o'clock and 9. Right through the town then, you look through, say, Donegal County Museum. There's an excellent exhibition being running there for the whole summer called Working Over By, which is essentially the story of Donegal people working in Scotland in the 50s, 60s, 70s and probably early 80s as well. Mm-hmm. It's an incredibly good exhibition. It's been very popular over the summer. And part of that exhibition is a living history performance, a small theatre performance, I suppose just of a couple leaving Donegal in the 1950s to go to Scotland on the Derry boat and the story around that. So that living history performance is on in the County Museum.
And as you say, there's so much going on. There's a number of venues. I think there's 13 or 14 venues, 13 in fact, I believe, across Letterkenny, where events are taking place. You need to get onto culturenight.ie/Donegal, and you might decide to do half an hour or more in the town park and then head to the County Museum, or head to Venue 3, which is also the County Museum, or the Loft, or the Donegal ETB. It's all over the shop. So we can't do it justice in this short phone call. Get to culturenight.ie/Donegal and find out more. Thanks so much, Treylock. Look after yourself in Donegal Town. There's events in the Presbyterian Church and also at Inkwell in Ballyshannon. If you're listening in that part of the world, there's events on from 6 p.m. in the Old Barracks Studio and Gallery in Ballyshannon. And in Bundoran, there's a Culture Night in Bundoran that's taking place at the Bundoran Community Centre. Let's go to... Where should we go to next? Let's go to Buncrana. Sophie Gallagher is the Nighttime Economy Advisor, Buncrana, with Donegal County Council. And Buncrana coming alive more so than ever on Culture Night. Sophie, good morning to you.
Morning, Greg. Thanks for having me.
All right, what's coming up?
Well, tonight we have a Culture Night trail starting at 6 o'clock. The concept really is to try and get premises that aren't normally open after 6 at night to open and have creative installations or musicians in their premises. And we're encouraging families and local people to come out and support and move between the venues. So and then at 9:30, we have a screening in Buncrana Cinema of Echoes of an Irish Lifetime, followed by video footage from Hugh Quirk. So we've plenty on for everybody tonight.
Yeah, and the culture trail interests me. Live music performances, a DJ set, collage workshop, storytelling sessions. The audience will be led on that, Sophie, to sample all the various elements of culture.
Yeah, there's a full programme up online where you can just move between the various premises on the main street. Sequence Cinderella has a DJ set, and you can go in and shop and enjoy the music as well. And Yellow Ribbon will be the same. They'll have songbird sessions. So we're encouraging people to get out there. Tiny's will have storytelling for young people. DK Beauty will have face painting. So there's something for everybody. And then there's a few activations in the Christchurch Hall. So we have Buncrana's creative writing community in there, and Scoil Trad Buncrana having a session at 6:30. So everything starts between 6 o'clock and 9 o'clock. In the Northern Light Gallery with Adam Porter, there's an art exhibition in Porter's Computers from 6 to 9 o'clock as well.
Right.
So there's plenty there. You can check it out online, as you mentioned.
Right, check it out. Enjoy. Thanks very much indeed. Sophie Gallagher there. So lots going on. Go to culturenight.ie/Donegal. A lot of work goes into that, so it's good to see. It'll be good to see big crowds. A caller says, Ireland's commitment to cherish all the children equally was nothing more than a mask to cover up to the world the reality of a seedy state. We all know the levels of child abuse and neglect that happened here even back in the 1930s. There were more children locked up in industrial schools in the Irish Free State than there were in the UK equivalent combined. That saying that the condition of a nation's children reflects the character of the political elite is very true in Ireland. The one thing is that we're living through an awful lot of stuff now that will be looked back on historically very unfavourably. So whilst we have to recognise what happened in the past, let's not take our eye off what's happening right now. 40-odd thousand children were in the position whereby an intervention from Tusla was required. The cases were signed off on. We never found out what happened afterwards. We're going to do that, but that's happening right now. As I said, almost 250,000 children living in poverty, not on the line, in poverty. And of course, we have 5,000 children homeless, no home in this country. A caller says, Tyne Micheál Colum stopped living in the past. What's his views on the Antifa supporter who murdered Charlie Kirk? Hey, if you don't want easy data tracking and identification, you should probably oppose the EU's chat control crap. No one's face should be in any database linked with the rest of the PPI. Also, too, you can turn off an awful lot of that in privacy settings on your phones as well, by the way. I choose to because it helps with driving and traffic management and recommendations and location settings. I choose to share my data. Now, I didn't anticipate it was going to be sold to the highest bidder, but I choose to. It's an active choice that I make because it suits my life. But you can switch all that off, and therefore there's nothing on you to sell. A caller says, I'm a foster carer. You are prepared for children who have mental health, abuse and social issues. Only 20% of children ever go back to parents. I have a child since its birth and I will most likely have that child until it's an adult. I would love that child to return to their parents, but the reality is different. I recently had a child for a number of months and they returned to their parents and that's great. Those parents showed up and were helped through a bad period in their life. That's an example of how the system works. The short-term foster carers rules are to reunite the children with their parents, but that very much depends on the parents' willingness to cooperate. I feel at times the birth parents are given too much say and support and the children are not supported enough. Many parents don't show up or have any interest or intention of wanting the child or children back. These parents are not always young. Many are older. Now we're faced with the added issue of many of the children from mixed race families, and there are many religious rules we have to consider as well. Well, there you go. It is a very, very complex area. And you have to recognise that people become parents, and what we think of our children and how we care for our children and the importance we place in them. Not every adult is the same. It's a terrible indictment, but it's a fact. The Low Pay Commission is expected to recommend to the government an increase of 5% to the minimum wage. What do you think of this? The rate's currently $13.50 per hour. An increase of 5% would bring the rate to €14.17 per hour. We know in the past the government has usually followed the Commission's recommendation. The national minimum wage rate was last changed at the 1st of January of this year when it was increased from $12.70 to $13.50. Now, there are various bans in that, which I don't fully agree with. But anyway, we know businesses are under pressure. We know an awful lot of people are employed in this county on the minimum wage. Just if you are in business, take note that if the government does what it normally does and follows the Commission's recommendations, the minimum wage will increase by 5% to €14.17. Micheál Colum said that he believes that the far right are being trained in guns. On Micheál Colum's social media page, there are a few things that I don't think are too appropriate. Why is he talking about explosives on Highland Radio when on his cover page a young girl is holding a gun? During his campaign, he had a picture of him casting his vote in the ballot box. He was wearing a T-shirt with a young man throwing a petrol bomb. This was very distasteful. How can you say one thing and promote what you're against? I can't unpack people's ideologies, to be honest with you. I try at times, but I often can't. Another caller says, far right, far left, very wealthy, working class elites. All this antiquated language does nothing to educate people. Rather, it alienates people, so it's counter-revolutionary. Again, and I wasn't in any way being any way disparaging. I was showing up my own ignorance here in trying to track a lot of the language and sort of the pathway through the ideology, and I struggled, and I was just very honest in relation to that. Greg, on the question of threats against politicians, etc., people see a situation where children that should be cared for and looked after until they can look after themselves, instead of this, they are tortured and killed by people that are more interested in gaining more wealth and control. Another caller says, we're not far right. This country is not far right. Politicians are not listening. Let me see. I'll come back to that in a moment. Hi, Greg. I'm driving on the dual carriageway. This was earlier in the morning. Could we give credit to the workers that were on it for the lovely, tidy job they made of the main road into Letterkenny? Okay, nice to spread a bit of love there. Yesterday, we spoke to the mother of a four-year-old child who had type 1 diabetes and just recently told, just recently started primary school. Now, the school hired a preschool AIM support, but that lasted a number of weeks and then the money ran out. And the parent phrased it as such, Lorna, in fact, that she was effectively told there might be some part-time care, but because her daughter has type 1 diabetes, that's not suitable. And that there was no funding, success in the application for a third SNA. There are two SNAs already in that school. So we got in touch with, who did we get in touch with? The Department of Education and Youth to sort of have a to see what their take on this issue was. We got nothing back either from the housing department, by the way. We do keep trying to get some response to them as it relates to downgraded homeowners, but they simply at this point aren't responding. But anyway, back to the Department of Education and Youth. Special needs assistants play a central role in the successful inclusion of students with additional and significant care needs in schools. They help ensure that these students can access an education to enable them to achieve their best outcomes and reach their full potential. The number of SNAs employed across the education system has grown significantly, with more than 23,000 now in place, an increase of almost 7,000 since 2020. Now, the allocation of SNAs is the responsibility of the National Council for Education. It's important to note that SNAs are not allocated to an individual student, but as a whole school resource. An SNA should be deployed by schools in a manner which best meets the care support requirements of students in mainstream classes. It is a matter for each school to allocate SNA support to meet student need through identifying and monitoring the care needs of all students in the school, thereby allowing schools flexibility in how the available SNA support is utilised. In relation to this case, the NCSE has advised that they've been in close contact with the school concerned and will continue to work with the school and family as required. The NCSE would like to remind all schools that it is open to them to seek a renew of their SNA allocation from the NCSE, and if additional resources are required, they will be provided. Details of the review process are available on the NCSE. Now, you can read through the lines on that one. What they seem to be saying, that it's up to the schools to make sure they have enough SNAs for their requirements. The issue is if there are three children that require SNAs, and one of them requires full-time medical observation, well then, you know, you're in a situation whereby you're asking a school to pick one child over another. But the NCSE seems to be indicating that if an application was made for additional SNA resources, then they'd be reviewed. I'm not saying they're saying that that application has not been received by them. It's very hard to make out. Again, I'm trying to read between the lines. But anyway, that's the official position there from the NCSE. Shannon Wilkin joins us in studio. She's been keeping an eye this week on what's been happening on the socials, just in case there are little... Do you know what? It just gives us an opportunity maybe to speak to the young'uns around the kitchen table. Shannon, if any of us do that any longer, you know, trying to sort of say... Often it can be hard to speak to them, but you're going to give us some stuff we can raise with them, have a wee chin wag.
I think it's universal, though. I like to kind of do things that any age bracket can touch on. Okay. And I'm not really that young anymore,
so Jennifer Aniston Aniston discovers Reese Witherspoon's real name. We're going to be getting to that. You think that should be stuff everybody
I
knows?
I put a wee video in it too, because it also opens up the can of worms. Like, even if you're friends with someone for so long, like, Do you know their middle name?
Well, I didn't know my dad's and mum's names till I was 12.
Like their first names or their middle names?
Yeah, I just thought their names were mum and dad. I remember someone asking me in national school what their names were. And I was like, well, it's mum and dad. Oh, it's so cute.
Mummy and daddy.
I know, bless. Okay. You're glitching on this webcam, so this system needs a reboot. Hopefully it'll happen over the weekend. I don't have time for it now. Right. Jimmy Kimmel, Charlie Kirk. This has been referenced a number of times here. Of course, Charlie Kirk was assassinated effectively. Jimmy Kimmel is one of the big late night talk show hosts, and he's off air.
Yeah, he's been suspended indefinitely, and I suppose it's very hard to know what to say these days, and even trying to follow the story, I found it quite hard to find exactly what he said, but I just got a wee quote here. We hit some new lows over the weekend with the MAGA gang desperately trying to characterise the kid, Robinson, who murdered Charlie Kirk, as anything other than one of them, and with everything they can do to score political points from it. In between the finger pointing, there was grieving. On Friday, the White House flew the flags at half staff, which got some criticism. But on a human level, you can see how hard the president is taking this.
Yeah, but what I don't understand is nighttime talk show hosts, especially on public funded, what are they? Why are they partisan? Why are they Republican? Why are they Democrat? Why are they getting involved in that? Like, he's going to be interviewing, you know, or try to be interviewing Taylor Swift about a new album. What are they getting involved in politics for? Because you've got very Republican and very Democratic hosts, and they use their monologue to try and convince the people of their way of thinking. You know. Like, especially if you are licensed by the state, as that show is, why are you getting involved in politics? You know,
it's
crack
a
jokes.
Strange one, yeah. It's what's the context of it? Like, why would you even say
because
that?
Because he's very anti-Donald Trump, and he's always been anti-Donald Trump, and he is a platform, and he's using that platform to score points. I'm not pro-Trump. I'm not anti-Trump. It's nothing to do with me. It's America. But if you're going to have talk shows that are partisan. You're going to get cancelled. And that's exactly what's happened now. And unfortunately, obviously not unfortunately, it's particularly those opposed to Trump that are getting cancelled.
But it's actually put a wee bit of a spanner in the works for Jimmy Fallon as well. He's a bit worried, will any of this affect him?
But he's also anti-Trump.
But he's spoken out in front of Jimmy Kimmel.
Yeah.
Interesting to follow.
He has, but they're trying to wrap it up in free speech. But free speech is not free of consequences. And if you say something that's demonstrably untrue, as Jimmy Kimmel did, and you are on a publicly funded or publicly licensed TV station, there's going to be ramifications of that.
Yeah, you have to.
Now, if he was on YouTube or if he was on Fox News or a cable show, he can say whatever he likes. Mm-hmm. But he's licensed by, and Donald Trump has one of his people as head of the SEC, the equivalent to our commissioner man. Anyway, I thought this was supposed to be a fun item. Thank you for that. What should we talk about next?
I have Gilmore Girls here. So everyone kind of categorizes Gilmore Girls as a comfort show. It's a very fall/autumn for us Irish people, just for the vibe of it. It's really cozy and it's the mother-daughter relationship. So they had a wee bit of a reuniting moment at the 75th Emmy Awards, which was on September 14th, so last week. And the show was celebrating 25 years and they set up the wee porch and everything in Stars Hollow.
Should we have a wee look and a listen?
Go on.
Okay.
25 years ago, a show called Gilmore Girls premiered and apparently took the season of fall hostage.
In spite of our autumnal dominance, Gilmore was actually a very small show.
I can't keep running that because it's still not going out on our stream. Is that significant to Gilmore Girls fans? Sorry, go ahead, yep.
They haven't actually reunited since 2016 when it was Gilmore Girls: A Day in the Life, and that actually left us with a massive cliffhanger.
One
as
second,
well.
Stop speaking.
ER would wet down.
No, it's not working correctly. No, go on ahead.
Not working. Yep. In 2016, we were left with a massive cliffhanger. So the main character Rory, she's pregnant, and we don't know who the father is because she was having an affair to her married ex-boyfriend who asked her to marry her during college, but she wanted to be a big career woman, but then she gets with him anyway and she might be having his baby, but it also might be her ex-boyfriend who she doesn't like's baby.
How old would that baby be now?
Right, 2016, 8 or 9, depending on how far along she was.
Is that sort of like a prelim for a rebirth, if you pardon the pun, of that show?
Yeah, like it so could be, but I think they've also gone down the route of they don't want to make it into a full series. So Lauren Graham, who played Lorelai, she wants to do a Christmas special. Okay. She think it would work well.
Yeah, TV shows. I was struggling for something to watch and I just thought, right, I'll go Netflix top 10. You know, what's the harm in that? And there was a show that was, I think when I clicked on it, it was number 2. And it's called Beauty in Black, right? Okay. Now, I've never seen anything like this show in all of my life. I could try and explain the plot now, but it's so, so far-fetched. It's, you know, they talked about back in the day of the wobbly walls of Wentworth. This thing looks like it was shot on an iPhone for about 10 euro, right? And the storyline makes no sense whatsoever. No sense. Every character is intertwined inexplicably. There's plot holes you could drive a bus through that they never even choose to close. Yet it's so high up in the top 10 of Netflix shows, right? Now, there's quite a bit of skin in it. Let me put it like that, right? There's bits and bobs here and there because one of the girls works as an exotic dancer. And I, for the life, now I'm on episode 9.
You're well through it then.
Because it's so bad, it's good. But yeah. I'm wondering, how can it be in the Netflix top 10 so consistently? Now, there's maybe 20 characters in it. No one says anything nice to anyone. Everything is screaming. Everything is screaming, swear words, you're this, you're that. Everyone hates everyone. And then some characters seem nice, but they're also nasty and there's no explanation as to why they're different in two different spaces. But if anyone's watched Beauty in Black and can tell me why it's in the top 10 on Netflix, then again, I suppose I'm on episode 9, right? So, I don't know, can't make any sense of it all. Right, let's get back out of that. Margaret Robbie. Is it Rob or Robbie? Margot Robbie. Okay, and Colin Farrell.
Yeah, they have a new film.
Oh, sorry, can we go back to Ben and Jerry's ice cream? This again, though, you're bringing us into this space of geopolitics on what's supposed to be a fun item, but
yeah,
go ahead.
Yeah, sorry, but I think that's also like kind of cool, like intertwining the two, like news is everywhere,
yeah,
guys.
Okay, yeah.
News nerd. So it's a bit of a sad story. Ben and Jerry's is now just going to be Ben. Well, they're not rebranding, but Jerry's decided to up and leave after 50 years.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. And it seems to be along the lines of his politics.
Yeah.
Effectively, and his campaigning. I think it's relating to the Middle East and what have you. All right. Yeah. So, but they're going to retain the Ben and Jerry's name.
Yeah.
And Ben was very nice about Jerry leaving too. So Margot Robbie and Colin Farrell, they have a new film out. What's this about?
So it's called A Big, Bold, Beautiful Journey. Again, I put the trailer in there, but I don't know if you can
play
it.
No, because the audio's not going out.
I've been looking at the trailer every time I've gone to the cinema and it looks really, really cool, but it's gotten a few kind of mixed reviews of is it good, is it bad? It's a bit too fantasy whimsical for some people, so they go through the portal of this magic door and they end up in places.
Leonardo DiCaprio seems to be getting rave reviews for a new film of his. I don't know what it is, but anyway.
I am out of the loop as well. I'm sorry.
No, but I saw a couple of things. They're supposed to be fantastic. Jennifer Aniston discovers Reese Witherspoon's real name. You're just going to have to give us an idea of what this is about. Actually, do you know what? The overwhelming majority are listening on radio. Shall I just play it and see what the crack is?
You can try, sure.
A, Jane. B, Jean. C, Joan.
A.
Jane?
Yeah.
It's Jean.
That was, Jean?
That's confusing. I'm Laura Jean.
Laura Jean?
That's my real name, yeah.
Laura?
Laura Jean.
Who's Laura?
What?
Who the hell is Laura? Wait, Laura Jean, I'm not calling you that from now on. Come on, Laura Jean. Where'd Reese come from?
It's my middle name.
Oh, like Norma Jean?
Yeah, I'm like Laura Jean Reese.
Laura Jean Reese.
Mm-hmm.
What made you go with Reese for your acting name?
I didn't change it. My name is just always Reese.
Reese.
But I don't know your middle name.
Joanna.
What?
Joanna.
I was 2 days years old.
Yeah.
No.
You were what?
I was 2 days years old when I learned your
you
middle name.
You were 2 days years old. You were years old. Jennifer Joanna.
Jennifer Joanna.
That would
JJ.
Be one of my least favourite phrases. I was today years old. I don't know what your views on that is.
See, I would actually use that a lot, but it
really?
Is kind of cringe.
Oh, it's all OTT.
Today,
Jennifer
old.
Aniston, Reese Witherspoon, two lovely ladies, but clearly in some sort of a bubble of celebrity, really. That's what's vexing them. But it's nice. They're nice. They're two nice people. That's a nice little exchange.
Yeah, like, and they've been in the industry a long time, so it's kind of funny. Like, it never went one day, oh, hey,
yeah,
by the way.
It goes to show how maybe fake their relationship is, or am I being negative? Mm-hmm. Nobody wants this season two. Is that a statement or what?
So again, this is another kind of rom-commy show, and I am very, very bad at finishing anything, but I finished that show in like 2 days.
Really?
Okay. Yeah, it just really hooks you in. So it is basically this girl, and she's like, women empowerment, you know, goes on dates with random fellas, but she doesn't want to actually be in a relationship with any of them. She's just this cool girl. And then she meets this guy and she's like, oh my God, I love him. He's class. But it turns out he's a rabbi.
Oh, right. Okay.
So they have to navigate that. And she's also not Jewish.
Mm.
So he needs to be with someone and he's going to get a promotion. I'm not sure what the next level of a rabbi is, but he was going to get the promotion to be the head of the parish or whatever you call it. And he has to decide, can I be with this woman or what? And then she's like, will I become a Jew? Will I not? But they've like so much chemistry.
Mm.
But another spanner has been thrown into the works.
Go on, throw it in. What is it?
The character's real life wife in real life is going to be added into the show as like this kind of like old middle school friend. And she's going to bring all this drama. So
sounds like you might be excited about that, yeah?
Yeah, so okay. October 23rd, I'm counting down the days.
I saw pictures on socials of Dermot O'Leary in various restaurants. What's he doing here?
So he is here for his show, Dermot's Taste of Ireland, and that's going to be on YouTube.
Nevin Maguire does that. Why? Could not just have bought Nevin Maguire's show and save themselves a fortune?
They'd have different demographics,
yeah,
probably.
Okay.
But the first thing I actually saw him on, Donna Marie came out and she was like, do you know Donna Bees? And I was like, huh, is Donna a person? And she's like, no, like Karen, Donna. And I was like, okay. And it's this guy who runs like a beekeeping and does hunting and all. And he was sitting down with Dermot and they had a lovely wee chat.
Mm.
So,
okay, good stuff. Anything that shines a light in our region? Anything else? Have we covered everything there?
I really wanted to try get a good moment from the ploughing.
Okay.
But I didn't. Instead, I found your brother.
Oh, yeah. Drums down there.
So I was like, was that drum?
It was, yeah.
Yeah, but I've seen like people like doing jiving and stuff, but nothing like, oh, my God.
I wonder, is it good? Have you ever been down there?
I haven't. My granddad has been. Loves it.
Okay. I would like to go just to see what it's like, but I'd like it to be dry, you know.
Yeah.
Come here. You are heading off shortly. You are working with John Breslin around the Northwest. You're down at Irwin's Electrical?
Irwin Electrical in Letterkenny, yeah.
Okay, so that's after 12.
After 12.
Well, better let you go.
Yeah,
you've a lot to be doing.
Run off.
All right, Shannon, thank you very much indeed. That's Shannon Wilkins' take on what's trending on social media, some of it anyway. 086 60 25,000 if you have anything to say. 086 60 25,000, or give us a call on 074 91 25,000. Near me in rural Donegal, houses got planning permission to build houses for locals, but sold them to holiday makers or are leaving them empty for 7 years so they can sell them to anyone who has enough money. Yeah, I know what you're talking about, and there will be people that will always maybe exploit planning laws for their own needs or what have you. I don't know. Right, I'm going to take a break and we're going to be in studio with our next guest in just a couple of moments. This will be easier to make sense of. It's a show coming up. It's called Hometown Girls. Michael Gallagher's with me. Hi, Michael.
Hi, how are you doing? Great.
Great. Thank you so much for joining us. We also have Billy McKines.
McInnes. Hi, Greg.
Okay, lovely to have you, Billy. Sorry, I haven't just seen that variation of the spelling before. Helen Power, all three of you from the Glenties Musical Theatre. Good morning, Helen.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm very well, thank
Excellent
you.
Excellent stuff. So who, is it you? Billy wants to tell me a bit about Hometown Girls.
Yes, yeah. So it's an original musical, all country songs pretty much, and it's about a set with Donegal winning the All-Ireland in 1992 and 2012. So it's got all the things that people in Donegal like, which is GAA winning the All-Ireland and country music. And also it's set in a pub. So three things at least, and also a lot about the community spirit. So
yeah. What is the task of beginning something? It's one thing interpreting another person's work, right?
Yeah.
That in itself is impressive and a challenge. But to create something, is all the music original as well?
Yes, everything. 20 songs, yeah.
Fantastic stuff. Yeah. It's some piece of work, isn't it?
Yeah, I wanted to do something different, you know, because a lot of musical societies are doing well-established musicals, or there's jukebox musicals. So I wanted to do something completely original.
Well, there has to be a conveyor belt too, doesn't there? There has to be something that created now that becomes something other theatres put on as well too.
Hopefully, yeah.
Well, fingers crossed. What's your role in it, Helen?
Well, I'm originally from Dublin and I live in Donegal now. I'm an official Donegal resident for the last 6 years, but I've been coming to Donegal since I was a child. I play the Dublin woman exiled in Donegal, and I have a great part because I play, I'm on stage for the whole time in a pub. I start off in the pub 20 years in 1992 with my pal, and 20 years later I'm still sitting in the pub. The lads say I'm typecast, but that's not true at all. But it's a great part, and it's a comedic part, and there's some, I suppose, a bit of music attached to our part as well. But it's good fun, and it's very lively. So being in the pub with my best pal over 20 years talking about Donegal and the football and drinking and singing, is that's the part I have. So it's great fun.
Michael, yours is an interesting story because it's like, you know, art imitating life, is it? Is that a bit of a stretch? Involved in the 92 panel and now making your stage debut on in a piece that sort of reflects on that?
Very, very true. Something like I never expected to be doing when I was back playing football in 92. But years later, my young sister, which is, she helps Billy with the directing, she rang me up and said, Michael, we have a part for you here.
Well, what did she see in you that thought that's a phone call she could even make?
A very good question. Probably thought that, this is something maybe this fella could do. He always kind of plays a bit of the character. But now we'll put him on the spot and see if he can do it on the stage. So, hence, I had a go at it. And with the help of the likes of these established people like Helen, and then younger people in the town that are college age students and younger than that, and they are all part of the show as well, and they help you to mature into it. So here
How
I am.
How have you found it though? You know, because there's one thing, we make a call and go, right, okay, I'll have a go with it, and then you turn up and, you know, between casting and then rehearsals and all that kind of stuff, you must have found a home there, or else you'd have got on your bike straight
away.
Yeah,
well, I suppose, I was kind of confident enough that I could do it. Mm. And then when I got up on stage, and then I was told, right, you have to sing a song too, Michael. And that's where I was definitely out of my comfort zone. So luckily, it's went okay after plenty of rehearsals, which we've been doing now for months. Had to go with it, and happy enough.
How would you frame it, Billy? Is it an upbeat piece throughout, or is it just about chat, conversation, cracking music, or does it run any deeper than that?
Yeah, it's about three, you know, obviously there's lots of people in the pub and they will have their own little stories, but it's mainly about three girls and their friendship. But and there's a lot of jokes and there's a lot of upbeat songs, but also there is some, you know, there's exploration of the relationship between fathers and daughters and between husbands and wives. Great thing about country music is you can write about grown-up subjects like marriage, divorce, all of those things that you don't get with pop music.
No, you don't.
Yeah.
I think it's a wonderful piece of work. How long have you been working on it, like from inception to virtually ready to get up on stage?
Oh, so the first time I had an idea about it was in 2018. And then I would sort of do a bit, then think I need to have a song. So I'd write a song and then carry on. And then we sort of had a brief run through during COVID, and then we worked on it some more, you know. So we then finally got it in Glenties in April, first time. And that was very entertaining because we didn't have all the cast in one place until the actual night of the show.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the people of Glenties and surrounds have already enjoyed this. It's coming to on Green on Theatre Letterkenny on Thursday and Friday. That's this coming Thursday and Friday. Yeah. That's the 25th and 26th of September at 8 p.m. Is it for a general audience, Billy?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. There's, okay. I mean, I know it's set in a pub, but yeah.
Mums and dads know themselves.
Yeah, right, exactly.
But in other words, you're not effing and blind and Helen doesn't run across stage.
No, no. we were really just talking about that on the way over, that it would, like my two grandchildren, you know, and they're 10 and 8, and I'm looking forward to them coming seeing Nanny on stage, so it'll be...
Well, also, just on the Thursday, there's a special promo so people can get discounted tickets.
Brilliant. Well, we'll talk about that. We're going to hear one of the tracks first. Yes. Hometown Girls, Billy. Talk to me about this track.
This song is called Cold Women and Warm Beer, and it's a classic.
Sorry, I beg your pardon. It's been put in not as its title, my mistake. This is from your production, Hometown Girls. What's the song?
It's called Cold Women and Warm Beer, and it's a reply song to one that the girls sing called A Good Man Is So Hard to Find.
Okay. So we'll have a listen to that. Stay where you are. This is one of the tracks from Hometown Girls, which is in On Green on Theatre next Thursday and Friday.
Give me a drink, bartender. Better make it two. It's really great to be back home again. I've been in too many towns. Oh, where no one looks at you. And it's good to see a friendly face again. I've been in drinking dens, watering holes and places without you. There's nothing worse than being in a bar with cold women and warm beer. I've been in dingy bars, seedy dives that no one would go near. But there's nothing worse than being in a bar with cold women and warm beer. Well, it's true, I like a drink. Hey, the next one even more. And it's never let me down through all the years. But there were nights that I'd regret even walking through the door, when the atmosphere was colder than the beer. I've been in drinking dens, watering holes and places without you. There's nothing worse than being in a bar with cold women and warm beer. I've been in dingy bars, seedy dives that no one would go near. And there's nothing worse than being in a bar with cold women and warm beer. So one more for the road, and one for the old pothole. It feels so good, it's hard for me to leave. But I know the time has come, and I will have to go. But I'll be back again, just wait and see. I've been in drinking dens, watering holes, hey, places without you. There's nothing worse than being in a bar with cold women and warm beer. I've been in dingy bars, seedy dives that no one would go near. But there's nothing worse than being in a bar with cold women and no beer.
There you go. And that's actually recorded live from the Glenties show, it has to be said as well, Billy. Tell us a bit about who was performing there. It's...
That was a guy called Sean McMonagall.
Brilliant. Well done, Sean.
Yeah, great singer.
Right, just before we remind people when and where too, it's like all great theatre companies that we have here too. There's lots of different people of different backgrounds and different ages, Billy, involved in this production.
Yes, from school age, really, secondary school, up, all the way up to... Oh, wait.
Retirees. Careful now, just stick with the young ones.
seniors. Glamorous seniors.
You do want a cast, don't you? It's not too late to pull out.
Yeah. It is too late. It is too late. Yes, it is.
Oh, is it all right?
Yes,
okay.
The contracts have been signed.
Brilliant stuff. Michael, is this just the beginning of your illustrious acting career?
Yeah, well... next week he'll tell a lot, all right?
Okay. The reviewers will have their say.
And I presume this is not your first rodeo, Helen.
No, I've been involved in amateur dramatics all my life.
And it's just
can you? Thanks. No, but this is, as Billy said, the wonderful thing about the Glenties Drama Group and musical theatre is that it's from very young, from people that are, I think the youngest is in fifth year and right up to the seniors, and that lovely energy of that vastness of age groups and what they bring. So
yeah, and the broadness of that demo too works with the audience as well too.
Of course it does.
Right, okay, so you just got a sample there of one of the original songs, and all of the songs are original for this production. It's Hometown Girls. It's set against the backdrop of Donegal's All-Ireland victories in 92 and 2012, and it was incredibly well received, I'm told, in Glenties, and it's coming to Letterkenny. It's on the stage of Ungrianon Theatre on Thursday the 25th and Friday the 26th of September at 8 p.m. You can get your tickets now. I think you referenced a particular promo for Thursday, did you, Billy?
Yes, that's right, Greg. There's a special offer on Thursday. So if you apply the code HOMETOWN8, you'll get discount on the ticket. So it'll be 12 for standard and 8 for concessions.
Well done. Okay, brilliant stuff. Thanks so much for calling up to us, Michael. Michael Gallagher, it's been lovely having you in studio.
Thank you, Greg.
Looking forward to seeing you in Letterkenny. Billy McKinnis? Thank you so much for calling up. And Helen Power.
Thank you
so very much indeed. Lovely to have you in. Okay. Now, just check out that show, Hometown Girls. It looks like it's going to be a great one. And you heard from Helen, her 8 and 10-year-old, I believe it was, grandchildren, sorry, are going to it. So it's for that broad age group. All original tracks as well. A texter says, Sean McMonagall, a great singer over the years. So people recognise him from other stuff, Billy, as well. Something else that's going on, the Seven Gables Vintage Club. Best of luck to you tomorrow. With your vintage threshing day at Flaxmill Farm. It's in Legna Duff Killay. All proceeds in aid of Donegal Hospice and the Laura Lynn Hospice. Very important causes for our community. All the best from Harry Ferguson. I've got the air code here if you want to get along to that threshing day at Flaxmill Farm. But that's where we have to leave it on the 9 till noon show today. Don't forget, John Bresson's coming up next live from Irwin's Electrical in Letterkenny. We'll be back with you on Monday morning at 9 o'clock. So from me, Greg Hughes, and the rest of the team here on the 9 till noon show, have a lovely weekend.